showtime, folks!
Hola, this is Shelly Martinez.
This is former WWE superstar Luke Gallows.
Here's your boy Shaq Gaswadi.
This is the World Warrior Low-Key.
This is Chadwick Boseman of Ring of Honor.
This is Christopher Daniels, and the gospel according to the Fallen Angels says that you are listening to the SNS Radio Network.
Hey, yo, say hello to the bad guy, Scott Hall.
Big Daddy Cool Diesel / Kevin Nash on the SNS Radio Network.
Hey, what's up? It's the LDB, One Dirty Pit. Boom!
Hi, this is Booker T, the 5-time WCW champion, and you're listening to SNS Radio Network.
Hi, gang. This is Mean Gene Okerlund from the WWE.
Hey, this is Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle from TNA. And you're listening on the SNS Radio Network. Oh, it's real. It's damn real.
The world is listening.
We were trying different things, and we were smoking funny things,
So Rosa Mendez suffers a wardrobe malfunction. China's PR people are moving away from her because of the porno, and Awesome Kong is pregnant. What is going on with women's wrestling today? We'll discuss that tonight. Little Egypt as well on the Pro Wrestling Rewind.
The power is back and here we go!
The Pro Wrestling Rewind.
I am here to give my opinion on the product, whether you agree or disagree.
That's called the power, brother.
Good evening, my friends, pro wrestling fans, and conspiracy theorists all across the seven continents. It is I, Pro Wrestling's Truth Detector, back in this beauty. This studio is absolutely beautiful, ladies and gentlemen. The brand new Power Studio here at the Power Institute for Advanced Creative Theorism. It is absolutely fabulous. The problem is that we don't have the air conditioner hooked yet. It's like 85 degrees in here, but it doesn't matter. We are here for you. Another excursion into the truth on the Newsmaker line, as always, powered by Headlocks to Headlines, the King of All of Italy, Mike Siciliano. Good evening, sir.
That's what I got to say, because right now it's been a hell of a pre-show. I am ticked off. I am pissed off. I'm ready to go.
That sounded like did that sound like this? Is that what I heard? Did I hear one of those?
Yes, you did. Unfortunately, it's not what you guys think it might be. But hey, it's still the same thing. It's something cold because it's 900 degrees out here, and oh my God, I'm raring to go. Let's get the news started, because I got a lot to say.
I'm interested in a bunch of things this week. First off, ladies and gentlemen, you want to be sticking around in the second hour. One of our power favorites, Little Egypt, will join us on the program.
You're going to get it right this time.
Yes, we're going to get it right this time. We owe her. We owe her from the last time. Now, I'm curious. A quick power poll on the chat room as to how we are sounding tonight, because we are using a slightly different setup than what we would normally use for the program here in the new studio, and I have not had a chance to take the opportunity. This was my day, ladies and gentlemen. I came home. I had to rush off to the kids' concert to get to the studio, and literally it was a jumble getting everything put together last minute, because I was not going to disappoint. We were going to do a show tonight. Egypt had already been booked. And there's really not a whole lot to talk about tonight, but there are a few things to discuss. According to
Power Poll is 100%.
All right, beautiful. That's good to know. According to ProWrestling.net.com, Rosa Mendez suffered what is being called a wardrobe malfunction during a dark match against Natty Neidhart at last night's SmackDown tapings in Roanoke, Virginia. The match ended abruptly with the referee calling for the bell and giving the victory to Natty Neidhart. Mendez covered her chest in her arms and quickly headed to the back while numerous male onlookers cheered at ringside. Natty attempted to keep the focus away from Mendez as she acted overly excited about the win. The Roanoke Civic Center staff were overheard saying Mendez had suffered what is being termed as a wardrobe malfunction.
The only thing I can say to that is... Only thing I'm going to say to that is very simple. Humana, 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 humana.
Oh, my God. It's too early to start that. Too early.
No, it's not.
It is too early to start that.
No,
and you know it is. I feel, honestly, I feel bad.
Crowley might be looking for those picks. Yeah, I think you might be right. Crowley might be looking for those picks.
I'm telling you, women's wrestling this past week, they have really taken it on the chin. This story that came up, this public relations firm now distancing themselves from China following... the way I understood it, now, this has gone in a bunch of different directions here. Mrs. Jamaica was the PR firm that was handling China's appearances and China's bookings, correct?
I'm not 100% sure, and to be perfectly quite honest with you, I don't even want to give this story any validity, but
well,
go ahead,
boss. It's important, because now what is being said... And the report stated several accusations stating that Daisy Pollard, knew about China's porn video for several months prior to its release and helped close the deal with Vivid.
I got nothing to say about this because, quite frankly, she screwed up, literally and figuratively and absolutely. I mean, there's no other way to put it.
I love this.
Daisy
attached China to Model House Talent, a sister company of Beauty Queen Management, as a tool for China to rebuild herself after a stint in rehab. She said, quote, "I do not support negative life choices, but I am not one to kick someone when they are down," says Daisy. Well, what is this? What is this supposed to be? Is she doing a movie? Is she not doing a movie? I would really love the left-wing French cook wrestling radio media, and actually the media, TMZ, which is supposed to be the fine, upstanding media for the new millennium. I'd like somebody... Yes, you didn't realize that? TMZ is the 60 Minutes of the new millennium. I'd like to know... I'd like to get this straight, to be perfectly honest with you. Because if she has done a movie... I'm going to put this right out right now. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, the Pro Wrestling Rewind... certified 100% porn-free from the Pro Wrestling Radio Institute of America, unlike our sister program, Wrestling News Live, which is certified. Did you listen to Wrestling News Live the other night?
No, I didn't.
There was quite an interesting review about certain movies which shall remain nameless. We've already said the word porn, so but that hasn't been the point I'm trying to make here is. Is here you have China, and really everybody deserves a second chance. I don't care who you are. Everybody deserves a second chance. And I thought China made a great return back to TNA, and I thought she could really go far. I mean, if you were to put her against Beth Phoenix right now, Beth Phoenix would probably give her a spanking. But the point is there is an aura. There's an aura with this character. There's an aura with this China character that you can really do a lot with, given the opportunity. And look at all of the divas that have gone on to do Playboy, China included. Christy Hemme's been in Playboy. You have Sable was in Playboy. Tori Wilson was in Playboy. There were a lot of women.
None of them have gone into this.
Okay, well, where does the line get crossed then? At what point do we say to the women's wrestlers, okay, it's okay to show your anatomy in Playboy, but it's not okay to show your anatomy in an adult film? I'd like to know where the line is.
You're not going to like my answer to that.
I know, I'm probably not, but the point is that these women, these divas, and these knockouts are held to this impossible standard. I want to tell you something right now. You look at Congressman Wiener right now, who's the Democrats could say nothing to this guy. I don't hear any of the Democrats asking for him to leave after he takes pictures of his anatomy and send them to a 26-year-old intern. So here you are, you have women, you have entertainers that are out entertaining the fans as professional wrestlers who then go on to do a spread in Playboy or Penthouse, and they happen to do a movie. Where's the double standard? If there was, remember, Shawn Michaels did, if I recall correctly, did Shawn Michaels or did he not do a spread in Playgirl?
To the best of my knowledge, I do remember him doing a spread in that.
Exactly. Yes. And was the WWE trying to distance themselves from Michaels because he did a shoot in Playgirl?
Look, let's get right down to the brass tacks here. It's a double standard in the entire civilized world. Okay? It's not just wrestling, it's news, it's everything under the sun. We could do this from now until the cows come home. You're going to get a double standard for every single thing that you discuss.
I want to get Egypt's take on this. I can't wait for Egypt to come on here in 45 minutes. I want to get her take on this because there's
It'll
nobody.
It'll be interesting to hear what she has to say about it because of her background. But from where I stand, you know, let me put it to you this way. You got Bronx saying that it's art, not, and I agree with that with regards to the Playboy stuff, but, you know, the bottom line on this whole thing, and I'm being honest with you when I say this, we're giving this way too much attention. Well, there's other news out there that I want to talk about.
And we'll get to your news, but this is my top story, because nobody in this industry supports women's wrestlers and women's wrestling more than myself. I have been an outspoken proponent of the product. And it annoys the hell out of me when I see coverage like this, when they're ready to throw poor China under the bus, a woman who's trying to do right by herself. And whether you like the porn or you don't like the porn, I don't think that's the point here. The point
wait
is,
a minute,
why?
Wait a minute,
why
wait
is she? No. I'm as conservative as makes no odds. All right, I am more conservative than the listeners on this program. Okay, but there comes a point, ladies and gentlemen. If you like what she does or you don't like what she does, where is this double standard in the professional wrestling and the entertainment industry? It says, all of a sudden, we've got to throw China under the bus. Where were they? Where were they throwing all these other entertainers on the bus when they were in adult films or Pam Anderson or anybody else?
Look, the fact on this whole thing is she went one direction and it appeared from all intents and purposes, that she was headed in the wrestling direction. They had a plan for her. They had a handshake agreement, yada, 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 blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, boom, she goes in a totally different direction into a scenario that is basically, from a public eye, considered taboo. However you want to call it risque, call it taboo, call it garbage, call it whatever you want to call it, except for obviously what we won't call it. The facts are is that she's going to be criticized for that choice. I had no problem when TNA brought her in. I had no problem when TNA had her team with Angle in that match against the Jarretts. I had no problem with it. Do I have a problem with what she's done now? Yeah, I do. Because quite frankly, I don't care.
How is it that if you don't care about something that you can have an opinion on it?
Because I have an opinion on everything.
I understand that, but if you don't care, then your opinion becomes irrelevant.
She is irrelevant. Let's be honest.
Not according to the professional wrestling fans, not according to the folks at TNA that brought her in.
TNA brought her in on a handshake. Let's remember that. It was a handshake. It would be a different kettle of fish 110% if they had her written down on a contract for X amount of money and this whole thing went
Gail
the
Kim,
way it did.
Gail Kim is posed nude. Nobody said anything about that.
You are talking about apples and oranges.
I don't think so.
We're going on to something else because I'm right.
I'm right, and you're wrong, and that's the end of the story. I am on a different story now. Former WWF and WCW World Champion Randy Savage, having passed away from a condition known as ventricular fibrillation. According to his brother Lanny Poffo, Poffo made the announcement during an interview with Florida's Bright House Sports Network. Ventricular fibrillation is an abnormal. It's nothing to laugh about. I apologize. It's an abnormal heart arrhythmia and an uncontrolled twitching of the heart that prevents the heart from pumping blood. The condition is caused or is considered a cause of both fainting and or heart attack. According to his brother, Randy's wife took the wheel following the heart attack. And purposely hit the tree so the car wouldn't hit a motorcycle or another vehicle. So Randy has a heart attack, ventricular fibrillation, and passes out at the wheel. And his wife, I can't imagine what this poor woman must have been going through, worried for her husband and worried about hitting other vehicles. He's got his foot securely planted to the accelerator.
The whole thing with this is a tragedy from minute one to the end of the story.
Yep.
I know a little bit about ventricular fibrillation. Not as severely as obviously what happened here. Macho's wife is a hero for doing what she did to avoid further tragedy. What this poor woman is going through right now is nothing whatsoever that I would want to even remotely consider, because it's tragic. But the woman, the Macho's wife, should be and I believe is being labeled as a hero for avoiding anybody else from being hurt, and that is something that to be lauded about.
Little comfort to her at this point, having lost her husband. They had been married for, I believe, a little over a year, I believe. They hadn't been married too terribly long.
I don't know the specifics on that precisely. If you have a minute, there's a couple other things we could go back to regarding our opening story. There's somebody in the chat room mentioned about another talent who allegedly did an adult film that we could discuss.
And do tell.
It's your favorite.
Oh, we're not going there.
Okay,
you want to go there? I don't see TNA stripping her of the title.
Yeah, but that was done 110 years ago.
What does it matter if it was done 110 years ago or 110 minutes ago? The fact of the matter is, Mickey James, rightfully so, is the Knockouts champion. China deserves, if they're going to let this go, if it's an entertainment thing, and they're gonna let the Knockouts and let the Divas go and show off their anatomy, and God bless them if they want to do that, all right? Obviously, I'm not going to have my kids watching it, all right? But if they want to go and do that, I'm fully supportive of that. But the point I have, the problem I have with this, ladies and gentlemen, the problem I have with this is when it all of a sudden becomes a double standard on behalf of the promotions or on behalf of the public relations firms, where all of a sudden they seem to grow to grow a sense of morality in a town, in an area that is known for its moral depravity. So where all of a sudden has everybody just gone and grown up and said, all of a sudden, we've got to throw China on the bus because we can't deal with her anymore because she's an addict and an alcoholic and she's a porn star?
The answer to your questions, as far as I'm concerned, is you've got two separate kettles of fish here, posing in a controlled environment with controlled points
and showing their hoo-hoos
and whatever the case may be, or being involved in something that can be labeled as Triple X, something that can be labeled as hardcore, whatever the case may be. You're talking, in my opinion, about apples and oranges.
What does that do?
That is why you've got nobody saying anything about Christy Hemme, Tori Wilson, Sable, or Maria Kanellis, or whatever the case may be. But meanwhile, you've got the scenario here where she has, and I'm referring strictly to the China situation, mm-hmm. because this is what I'm trying to get at here.
Yeah.
She has a handshake deal to go back into wrestling with TNA. TNA agrees with the handshake deal, okay? And then all of a sudden, China goes and steers completely to the left in a direction that TNA doesn't want to go. The whole thing, in my opinion, is based on the fact that it's not – that there's no contract that says that she had anything that needed to be – required to do with TNA. So when she made this left turn and went into what she did, TNA had the absolute right to say, we're done. We have nothing left to do with you because we have nothing in writing.
I will agree with that. They had the right to do that, but just because they had a right doesn't mean it is right.
Right or wrong is irrelevant here. In this particular situation, it's irrelevant because the facts... We could do this.
We're gonna agree to disagree because I know I'm right. According to the Wrestling Observer Newsletter, The Miz was not injured at Raw this past Monday night, as suspected. The Miz, who has now become terribly irrelevant, said, "Tisk tisk, kiddies. Did we learn something tonight? Don't believe everything you read on the sheets." And by sheets, he's referring to professional wrestling radio bloggers.
My answer to this whole thing is very simple. I don't believe what the sheets say. I believe what I hear. I believe what I see. I looked at what happened to the chat room. The chat room just blew up. I'd love to know what happened during that whole thing that got this whole scenario and blown up out of proportion as it did. But the bottom line is, Miz isn't hurt. He's not irrelevant anymore, but he's close.
No, he doesn't have the title, so he's not relevant anymore. He makes
he's relevant. He's got a feud right now going. that actually has some...
Alex Riley, you want to talk about somebody who's the winner in all this. Alex Riley is the winner of this popular... To heck with Ron the Truth Killings on this deal, although I was very entertained about what happened on Monday night. Really, the winner in this whole thing is Alex Riley.
Riley's getting a push that he deserves.
Good for him.
Riley spent the better part of 6 to 8 months as Mrs. Lackey, and now Riley turns face and is getting the push that he rightfully deserves. And I like to see it. I'm glad it's happening on Raw. Let's see where it goes. Let's see how much face time he gets. Let's see what happens at the pay-per-view with the match with the Miz. I'm curious to know what Miz will what will happen with the result of that match. Will Miz put Riley over, or will Riley put Miz over? Whatever the case may be, the whole scenario here has relevance, and it's a lot more relevant than we give it credit for.
Yeah, it has relevancy to a wrestler who has now become irrelevant. I find that fascinating, because without the title, he is nothing.
I don't agree.
I wholeheartedly disagree with your disagreement. Because the way that this man, and I know I'm going to get flack for it on the chat, and I really don't care, but the way that this man has been booked for the better part of 3 years is they've had to throw him with somebody, or they've had to throw a title on him. The best match, you want to know the best match that this man has had? The best match that this man had was the WrestleMania match against John Cena. That is when The Miz grew up. But as soon as he lost the title, he once again fell back into mediocrity. Because at this point, no one cares. Because Ron the Truth Killings is coming up, playing the race card, wanting to get himself in title pictures, and now what's going to happen is The Miz is going to fall further back.
I don't agree. I believe that Miz is still relevant. Miz is still looking at a title contention. And I believe right now, if you want to talk about irrelevant heels, the really irrelevant heel in this whole deal is Killings. I don't think Killings' insanity gimmick is going to get him any more than one shot at capital punishment. And then Killings is going to end up going to the back of the line like everybody else. And Killings is going to drop into obscurity faster than my hair.
No, I don't think so. Because if he's coming out in Confederate outfits, throwing drinks on fans, and basically making a jackass of himself, believe me, he's going to be significantly more relevant than Captain Irrelevancy The Miz.
And you know what? The whole facts of the matter on that is simple. I'm not entertained by Ron the Truth Killings' actions over the last few weeks.
What are you
I
dead?
I am entertained by what The Miz has been doing.
Are you kidding me? How can you not be entertained about what Ron the Truth Killings is doing right now? This is the most fun this man has been since TNA.
I don't like WWE talents getting involved with fans. Now, yes, I got people in this chat room, not right now, I got people in this chat room turning around and telling me that it happens all the time and that they're marks and yada, 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 blah, blah, blah. And personally, I don't give a damn. The fact is that I don't like it when they have a scenario where a wrestler gets involved with a fan, mark or not. Okay? Miz has remained relevant, in my opinion, because Miz still has the ability to talk his way into a title match. Now, he's not in a title match right now. Let's be honest with
that. He couldn't talk his way to a title match last night. He couldn't talk his way to a title match, Monday night. So that blows your theory right out of the water. The best he could do is get a tag match.
I don't agree.
I didn't see Vince McMahon. All I heard from Vince McMahon was "Shut up, Michael Cole," which, by the way, was the highlight of the night for me, because now Michael Cole has fallen back. It took all of 2 weeks before Michael Cole started falling back into asininity.
It took all of three words.
I gave him the benefit of the doubt, and once again, I have been disappointed. But anyway, let us continue. Jim Ross posted a blog on his website covering a few subjects, including the possible return of Mick Foley to the WWE. He said, quote, "Do I think that Mick Foley will ever return to the WWE? Better question for Mick to answer than me, and he's on Twitter." I don't know, he said. I don't think that Mick's best ongoing assets are his verbal skills and not a long stride of wrestling bouts. Mick's PR value to any company is significant. Someone also asked, if Mick versus Undertaker at WrestleMania 28 would make sense. For me, no.
Oh, my God,
that ship has sailed, and those two can never replicate what they once had and did back in the day, nor do I think they should try. However, Mick Foley is a great human being and certainly a future WWE Hall of Famer, and in my eyes, Mick is another guy who would be a great mentor to young talents in any developmental system. Your thoughts?
First of all, Mick Foley getting out of Orlando the way he did is just a shame to what happened to him, because TNA just dropped the absolute ball. Foley's verbal skills would have helped that product no matter how you put him in there, one way or the other. Do I see Foley coming back to the WWE? No, I don't. I see Foley writing books. I see Foley helping the independents. I see Foley doing his thing in little high schools and sportatoriums like I was at on Saturday night. I don't see him getting back into the WWE anytime soon until he's inducted into the Hall of Fame. Foley's ship has sailed. Foley's ship has sailed. His time has passed. God help us if they try to book Foley Undertaker for WrestleMania 28. God help us, because that will be unwatchable.
I would like to see, if you were to ask me what I'd like to see, I'd like to see Cena take on Undertaker for the streak.
I would take that.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to come down to that at some point. I mean, you're going to see John Cena versus the Undertaker.
I have a feeling that you're going to see something that you're going to see what we did the last 2 years happen again next year. I think you're going to see Triple H go after it one more time.
You think Triple H will go after the title one more time?
The streak one more time. Yeah.
Oh! You think he'll take the rematch next year against? Well, that pretty much guarantees.
Yeah.
That guarantees him a 20-0. If that's the case.
I think that's what you're going to get, because if Taker is technically retired the way he is right now,
yeah,
there's nobody else that he's going to want to go up against
for
this streak other than somebody on his same level. And the only guy in the entire roster that's on the same level as Undertaker right now is Triple H.
Andy.
Well, wait.
What?
Taker versus Zack Ryder at WrestleMania 28, Sam? I'd love to see it. You know it will never happen, but I'd love to see it.
That would be Owen Hart, Boogeyman. Remember that one, WrestleMania 8? Is it WrestleMania 8, Owen Hart and Boogeyman? Yeah, Owen Hart and Boogeyman.
No, you're talking about Boogeyman and JBL at Royal Rumble.
No. I'm talking Steve Kern, one half of the Fabulous Ones, it wasn't Boogeyman. What was it? It was Skinner. Skinner or something like that. He played some alligator. Skinner, yeah. And him and Owen Hart, WrestleMania 8, and the match lasted, I think, all of 30 seconds.
Or the modern-day version, JBL and Boogeyman at Royal Rumble. That's the modern-day version of the Owen Hart Skinner match, whatever the case may be.
We finally got a winner in WWE's Tough Enough announced this past Monday night. Andy, for those of you who gave a damn, Andy, which a great name, by the way. He needs to go and thank his parents, because he has an absolutely fabulous name. Andy Levine winning WWE's Tough Enough. He gets to keep his championship belt. He won't be wearing it down to ringside, however. And for his efforts, he got a Stone Cold Stunner, which I thought was absolutely asinine. Your thoughts?
I didn't think it was asinine at all, the Stone Cold Stunner. I thought that was absolutely perfect. Let's remember the last time that they had a Tough Enough, what happened with John Hennigan and Matt Capitelli getting caned in the back by Tommy Dreamer after their collective victory. But let's talk about the real situation here. Now, we both said a few minutes ago with the Miz story that the dirt sheets are the dirt sheets, and you take what is said on the dirt sheets with a grain of salt. So I'm going to state this right off the bat. I saw this story on one of the dirt sheets, so I don't know if it's legit or not, and the proof is gone, so I don't know if it's legit or not, but I'm going to say it anyway, because Taker Christian? Yeah, I would do Taker Christian. Let's get back to the Tough Enough story. Andy Levine allegedly is under developmental contract with the WWE.
That is a huge, huge problem, ladies and gentlemen. That's a huge, huge issue.
If Andy Levine is under developmental contract with the WWE, then I want my 10 weeks back that I gave up watching this program. Because as far as I was concerned, as far as I believe, He signed in August of 2010? Zodiac? Can you find me proof, Zodiac? I want to see proof of that being the fact, because if that's the case, I am pissed beyond belief that I wasted 10 weeks. Zodiac, send me that on a during the break, because I gotta look at that link on the break, because I want to see that for myself. Okay, since I can't get at it right now, but the fact is that this thing was supposed to be for people coming up out of the blue to become WWE talents. Okay, now if by some inexplicable reason, now we all knew that these talents that Tough Enough got in for this round, for this season,
yep,
had wrestling backgrounds.
And that makes sense. And that makes sense. I mean, you had to have some athletic ability, some wrestling aptitude to get on this program. Which is, it's like watching The Bachelor or The Bachelorette. You've got to be good looking to get on these programs. You're not going to see fat slobs going on these programs. So there has to be a minimum requirement to get on this program. But I digress. Go ahead.
You know what? Pope is also saying something else that I actually knew, and it didn't even dawn on me. Christina Crawford, Alicia Fox's sister, is under a deal. I actually think I saw that, and she was on for Tough Enough as well, and she lasted into the final five until she got hurt.
Which doesn't say much considering they were like what, eight?
They were 14 total.
Yeah, 14.
You know, and but the facts are this. I had no problem with the talents that were brought into this year of Tough Enough. I think the guy that got hurt with the busted ankle, Martin, I think he was the one guy out of the whole batch that had a legitimate shot of being a talent right from the word go. But he got hurt during the competition, and next NXT was less scripted. Yeah, NXT is less scripted, but the facts, I'm getting distracted by the chat room, so let me say this right off the bat. I am pissed off that Tough Enough gave their title to an FCW talent. I am pissed off that Andy Levine was an FCW talent and basically taken out of FCW to do this and give us the belief that he was not a signed WWE talent.
Yeah, and really the WWE really should be brought to the carpet on this. And you know, for those of you who watch this program, it's like watching, you know, The Bachelorette and figuring out, you know, who's the guy going to be at the end and having it all be pre-scripted. We know wrestling's as choreographed as a 5-year-old ballet. We've already said that. That's not the point here. The point is truth. You have designed this program, this Tough Enough program, to be a life program, a reality series whereby a WWE wrestler is chosen. It doesn't mean you go and you get somebody that you already have on contract and you rig the damn thing. It makes an ass out of you and me.
I'm pissed because it's basically, I basically wasted 10 weeks of my life.
I didn't watch it. See, I was the smart one. Myself and others like me that didn't bother watching this program. I knew it, ladies and gentlemen. My truth detector went off again. I knew there was something about this Tough Enough I didn't like, and I just couldn't put my finger on it, and you just did.
Well, I liked the staff on Tough Enough. I liked seeing the premise of the whole thing. I liked how it was done this year. But the facts are, and obviously there is proof to it because the link was there. And I'd like to see it if Zodiac could. I would love it if he emailed me, klac1102@aol.com. I want to see that link, okay? It's through the Tampa Tribune. I'm going to look for it. I'm going to find it. And I'm going to see if this has some legitimacy behind it, because if it does, I'm going to write a nice little nasty piece on Headlocks to Headlines and all my other spots bashing the WWE for their stupidity and their basic lying to their fans about the so-called reality show.
Yeah, and but yes, wouldn't that wouldn't be the first time. That wouldn't be the first time we've been lied to by the WWE.
That's true. And yes, Sam, reality isn't reality. Yeah, I know that reality isn't reality. But I went there to see a common man become a WWE guy, not a WWE guy become a WWE guy again. That's really where my problem is.
Are you done?
No, I could keep going.
Mick Foley wrote on his Twitter account after it was reported that he is leaving TNA. He responded reports that he was hard to work with. He said, quote, "I pushed hard for changes I felt would benefit Impact Wrestling. I can understand how some would interpret that as difficult to work with." He said, "I like everybody at Impact Wrestling. We just had some major differences of opinion. I wish them all well, for real. I bet I can give you a personal highlight of my short-lived return to Impact TNA that no one will ever guess." And then he asked people to try. He said, "Okay, so before I tell you one of my favorite parts of returning to TNA, remember I don't work there, so I have no reason to make this up. One of my favorite parts of returning to Impact Wrestling was getting to know Hulk Hogan a little bit. I'm completely serious." Yes, he goes on, he tweets to somebody. I don't understand how these Twitter IDs work, but he says, "I do personally like Hulk Hogan and got a rush out of the in-ring segments we did together, especially the first."
Well, the one thing I'm going to say about Twitter right now is I'm not saying anything bad about Twitter, because if what has already begun continues to fester, I'm going to come up with a nice little crown jewel for down the road for the rewind. So I ain't saying anything bad about Twitter. What I am going to say is, if Foley got the new Hogan, you know, Foley then needs to get cleansed, because anybody who gets to know Hogan needs to have a cleansing done, because Hogan is an absolute cancer. He is a disease that there is no cure for.
Oh, come on. The man, I think the man has paid enough. The man has paid enough for his personal fame, having lost his family, lost his wife.
Hogan is a cancer.
Oh, he is not. He's just a man. He is the victim of his own circumstance. He's the victim of his own. He's the victim of his own fame. When the devil came to Hogan and said, "Look, I'm going to give you all. I'm going to give you multiple years as a WWF champion. I'm going to make you the biggest wrestling superstar on the planet. All you have to do is give up your wife, your kids, and your soul." And Hulk Hogan said, "Yeah, sure, sign me up for that." He's just a victim. He's a victim of his own device. The man has paid. No, seriously, dude. The man has paid enough. Let him try to live out the rest of his life in peace, go to TNA, make a few bucks. Let him live off his fame. Once you've lost your wife and you've lost your kids, and especially when you see your wife dating a 19-year-old, that's going to give you some issues.
I'm not talking about any of that crap, because that's all his own personal life, and his personal life being public is not my concern. My concern is that he is doing the same thing. This is strictly from a wrestling standpoint. He is doing the same thing that Ric Flair is doing, and that all these other talents that should have retired 10 years ago are doing. And that is spawning their own fame off of guys that are busting their asses 100 times more than they are, and are getting nowhere fast because these selfish, egotistical, maniacal jackholes don't want to step aside for the younger talents. I was at a freaking show on Saturday night last week where I saw guys with 900 times more emotion than any freaking promo that Hogan has done over the last 2 years at Impact. And I'm telling you right now, I will spend every dollar and every dime that I could supporting those guys than I would supporting Hogan or Bischoff or any of these other sycophantic suck-ups who can't seem to realize that
sycophantic
their time has
passed. Sycophantic suck-ups.
I wanted to say something a little more colorful, but I know your policy there, Power.
Tommy,
and the fact is that I don't want to spend any more of my time supporting these sycophantic suck-ups who don't know when it's time to go.
Tommy Dreamer knows when it's time to go. He's announced he is leaving TNA after PW Insider reporting that he left after failing to reach a deal with TNA. His last two shows are June 10th in Marion, Illinois, and June 11th in Memphis, Tennessee.
No comment. No comment. I mean, like I said, my fire was relit when I was in Deer Park, New York last week at a show where I roasted my butt off in front of 650 people, and I saw stuff that made my head explode. So anything else like this, all this stuff right
street
now...
Street crime returns to New York? Is that street? There's more street crime in New York now? Is that what it is?
Next!
We've got to take a break. When we come back, the top of the hour, Little Egypt will join us and we'll take your calls as well. It's the Pro Wrestling Rewind right here on the SNS Radio Network.
This is the Pro Wrestling Rewind.
Not getting enough TNA wrestling? It's time to join TNAOnDemand.com. The place to access over 300 hours of classic TNA programming. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. TNAOnDemand.com is the ultimate resource for pay-per-views and exclusive TNA programming. Log on to gain instant access to every TNA DVD ever released. Go to TNAOnDemand.com to get started right now.
It's time.
It's time to stop
the name calling,
the hurt,
the bullying.
Because of race, creed,
color,
sexual orientation,
it's time to treat everyone like you want to be treated.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time to eliminate.
Eliminate.
Eliminate the hate.
Eliminate the hate.
Eliminate the hate.
We will not live our lives in fear, for we are a proud people, proud of who we are, proud of our nation, and damn proud to be Americans.
Half my brain tied behind my back just to make it fair. Pro Wrestling's Truth Detector, the Power, Andy Knowles here. And the brand new Power Studios, the Power Institute for Advanced Creative Theorism, and the Pro Wrestling Rewind on the SNS Radio Network. Thank you for joining us wherever you are all over the seven continents. We greatly appreciate it. The King of All of Italy, Mike Siciliano, back with us on the Newsmaker line. You know, something happened during the break. This is why I'm loving the new studio location, okay? My assistant was kind enough because I had not had dinner during the break. My assistant came up and brought me a chicken salad sandwich and some potato chips and a couple of sodas. I'm telling you, I am living the dream, baby.
All I got to say right now is you are in rare form tonight, and you've got me literally sitting here boiling.
I'm telling you, I have waited for months. This new mobile studio, ladies and gentlemen, is a labor of love, because when we when we returned to the SNS Radio Network, when the Pro Wrestling Rewind came back, what a lot of people don't understand is that my time slot at ESPN Radio had already been spoken for when we had returned. And my contract with ESPN Radio had expired. So I had still done some work for the Big Talker, and periodically I would go in and I'd do some commercials, do some promos, but I don't have a permanent slot. You know, we've done a couple of things for ESPN Radio since we've been back, but we have not been back full time, and we've had conversations with the Fox and other stations, including our home station, our old home station, which was 99 Hits. But it was always in the cards that we would have the mobile studio, so that it would be significantly more convenient when we did get a time slot. I don't have to go and drive down to the studio. All the engineer has to do is just flick a switch and they would have access. It would be a hard line, a hard wire. So this was the first phase, and I had literally been waiting weeks because between the construction and we had hoped, a little insight for you, ladies and gentlemen, we had actually hoped to be in this studio 2 weeks ago, and they had a problem running the Cat 5e into the studio. And of course we would use the Cat 5e for internet broadcast. And we finally got that squared away on Monday, and I was so excited. I posted it on Facebook, and it is a beautiful studio. When it is, we're gonna get it squared away. We're gonna get it finished, and I will take. It won't be for a while yet, but I will take some photos of the mobile studio and post them on the Facebook page. I will not be in the pictures, but you will be able to see the PWR Northern Command here exclusively. On the SNS Radio Network.
Let's also state that the PWR Southern Command is much less advanced.
And far more hot and humid, I might add. But this is great. Yes, my assistant, indeed. I wasn't expecting this. My assistant came into the studio and brought my dinner. I was floored. I didn't ask for anything. I just said, look, let's just get in. Let's get the hard line up. Let's get everything running and let's get broadcasting. And my assistant came in not 25 minutes later, 30 minutes later. Here we were. Well, actually, no, we were about 40 minutes into the broadcast. And my assistant was kind enough to bring me dinner. So it's great to be me.
Living a dream, huh?
It's great to be me. I can't help it. But
it's great to be you. You keep up this line of talking today, and it's going to be a little bit troublesome to be you because you got me royally boiling over here.
I can't,
literally and figuratively.
But ladies and gentlemen, I can't be me without you, and you're the reason why we are here. On the Pro Wrestling Rewind, about 9 minutes to the top of the hour, Little Egypt will join us as we continue to talk about some of the news happening this past week. You were actually at a Dragon Gate. Of course, we had Ronan on last week. You were actually at a Dragon Gate USA event.
I was indeed, and I must tell you, it was my first show in probably close to 2 years. And I have to say right now publicly, I have to say thank you to my wife because she had every right to say no, but she didn't. She let me go, which was cool. I went and I had a blast. I saw some of the most insane action you can ever possibly imagine. And yes, I'm getting laughed at in the background by my beautiful wife who was laughing at me because I am sucking up.
You're sucking up bad is what you're doing.
I'm being ignored by my wife, so let me get back to business over here. I'm not flattering anybody. Oh, my God, I'm in trouble now. I had such a good time at this show, and now everybody's going to say that Dragon Gate USA isn't the type of wrestling that they want, the wrestling that brings out that's the human soap opera, the psychology, the storylines, and all this other stuff. I'm telling you right now, this type of wrestling is what I loved. It was person A and person B getting in the ring, hitting each other as hard as they can, and the last person standing wins. And some of the talent that you saw in this ring, in that building, was absolutely second to none. Beyond second to none. I mean, from the Japanese talents that I saw, to Austin Aries, to Ronan, to the other members of Blood Warriors, Brody Lee and Ricochet, it was an amazing experience. And I'm telling you right now, as God is my witness, I would spend $20 for a general admission to a DGUSA show before I spent any money to go into a WWE arena to see WWE talents again. That's how much I am so willing to support the independents, and that's how much I enjoyed going to this experience. I'm telling you guys, check out their YouTube channel. Check out what these guys can do because it'll blow your mind.
Yeah, Ronan was absolutely fabulous on the program. Of course, to be on this program, for those of you who are new to the Pro Wrestling Rewind, is if you notice, we don't do a lot of interviews. We've done more as of late, but in order to get on the program, you have to meet two specific criteria. You either have to be a champion, or you must add something to this program that nobody else can. And Ronan fit that bill tremendously well.
I can tell you something. Rich Swann added something to this program last week, and he added something to the show on Saturday night. Rich Swann sung his entrance music into the NYWC Sportatorium Saturday night. He sung an a cappella without any music, and I'm telling you, I was entertained, and I was laughing my cracker off.
Laughing your cracker.
When I was hearing this guy sing. It
cracker?
Was absolutely hysterical.
Laughing your cracker.
I just don't understand.
I just don't understand these kids today. I just don't understand them.
You are too much. You are too much.
Isn't that cracker? Isn't a cracker a derogatory term for somebody that is white?
Special shout out to the Shark. Mark the Shark DiCarlo, who was in the chat room today. Shark, how you doing, Captain?
Yeah, you're missing my point, though. You calling yourself a cracker, that is a derogatory term for a white person.
Do you notice how I ignored that question?
Yeah, I see that. So if I were to go up to you and say, what's kicking cracker, you'd be perfectly fine with that. Yo, what's kicking cracker?
You in about 2 minutes there, power. Let's keep going.
TNA is reportedly planning on cutting several talents soon from the roster. Officials have been evaluating what's working and what's not been working, trying to determine which talents aren't fitting in. No word yet on when the cuts will be made, but some wrestlers have apparently been told to sit tight while the necessary cuts are made.
This was about time.
This was going to happen.
They've been reporting this for months.
They've been reporting this for months. Not here they haven't.
Come on. They've been reporting about these so-called cuts for months.
Yeah, but
you know something? If you're gonna cut the TNA roster, you might as well just slice it right down the middle and start over.
The problem is that the guys are gonna get cut. The guys that are gonna get cut are the guys that really deserve the shots. You're not gonna see any of the original TNA talent go. You're not gonna see any of the big time WWE guys go either. It's going to be your Brutus Magnus. It'll be your Brutus Magnus. Go ahead.
What they have done to some of the talents in that company is beyond reproach. I mean, let's be honest here. It's beyond reproach. And they've been talking about budget cuts for the last 6 months. When they actually start doing it, I'll say something about it. I'll comment about it. Until they do something to actually make a legitimate economic impact on their program, I'm going to consider this a non-story.
You're considering it a non-story?
Yeah, because they have been talking about doing this for months, and they've done nothing.
TNA wrestlers that are down there in Florida basically waiting on their next paycheck and now are concerned whether or not they're going to have a job, and that's a non-story.
They've been concerned like that for months. Months.
Okay, who do you think they'll release?
I don't know. I don't know.
It is coming down. I'm just looking outside the window of the studio, and man, oh man, have we got one humdinger of a thunderstorm. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, those of you that are listening on the stream, if we lose signal, we will attempt to come back on the trusted studio engineer. If we lose the stream, we will attempt to come back on, so don't go anywhere. If we can't make it back on, then we will post it on Facebook. So just a quick programming note. Go ahead, Mike.
With regards to these cuts, what can be said? I have no comment on it. I have no understanding as to what they're going to do. I have no opinion on it because, quite frankly, I've lost all faith in TNA succeeding. I mean, Sting, Mr. Anderson for the TNA world title, it doesn't impress me. It does not even remotely tantalize me. It doesn't. Angle,
I'm rather enjoying it. I'm enjoying this old Sting storyline. I thought the match with him and Eric Young playing the Great Muta, I thought that was very entertaining. It was stupid, but it was entertaining.
I would have liked to have seen that only because I think Eric Young is a talented competitor who should be one of the people that should be scared for his job, by the way, because he would be just the type of person to end up getting his pink slip. I would have liked to have seen that because I think that would have been entertaining. And yeah, stupid, but might have been entertaining.
I don't think you're going to see any of the old school TNA guys, the guys that have been there since Team Canada and beyond. You're not going to see them go anywhere. They'll cut the Brutus Magnuses and what was his name? The New Jersey kid there with the little whore that runs around. What's his name? Charlie
Robbie
what's
E.
his nuts? Yeah, Robbie E. Yeah, you're going to see guys like that gone long before you see Beer Money or Eric Young or AJ Styles or any one of them.
I have a bit of a problem with them getting rid of Robbie E, because if they get rid of Robbie E, they'll get rid of Becky Bayless, and Becky Bayless deserves a better fate than that. Becky Bayless is a hard-working woman, independent woman who's done her time in the WSUs and in the independent circuits, and she deserves a better fate than what she's gotten so far in TNA. But then again, if we're going to talk about that, we can go right down the line back to a guy who is currently languishing in Ring of Honor, but was languishing even worse in TNA, and that's Homicide. Right now, they have an angle that would have been absolutely perfect for Homicide, but they languished him to death, and Homicide got ticked off and wanted out and ended up getting out. And now they have this Mexican-America gimmick, which would have been absolutely perfect to bring Homicide into.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I wholeheartedly agree.
So you got – it's pathetic. Let's be honest. It's pathetic. It's a non-story to me until they actually start cutting people. When they start cutting people, then I'll comment on it, because then you have the ability to say what will happen next to the talents that end up getting the axe.
It's 10 o'clock here at the 10 o'clock Eastern here at the Pro Wrestling Rewind, the SNS Radio Network, the Power Institute for Advanced Creative Theorism. We are waiting momentarily. And, Mike, you may want to check on this and see where we're sitting with this point.
I am checking as we speak.
We are waiting for one of the power faves, one of our power faves, Little Egypt, to join us here on the program. And she definitely deserves significantly better than what happened last time. And actually, I've been quite impressed with the studio so far. We have had very few issues. I know we had a little hiccup at the beginning, but very impressed with the way things have been going so far. So if it's not broke, don't fix it. Let us continue. According to the Wrestling Observer Newsletter, there has been talk of having Matt Stryker move into a manager role once again. Stryker was Tyson Kidd's manager on Superstars. My question is wasn't Michael P.S. Hayes supposed to be Tyson Kidd's manager? Weren't they supposed to be bringing guys like Arn Anderson, bringing these older producers, bringing them back in? So that
was a story.
And what's happening?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it was the dirt sheets playing us for fools again.
Well, it's getting to the point right now. You know, you can't believe anything that WWE says, nor should we even try. Do you agree or disagree?
You're right. I mean, there's really no other way to put it. You are right. There is nothing that can be said by the WWE that is being considered truthful.
I digress. I digress. Scott Hall returned to indie wrestling. Did you hear about this story, Mike?
I did. But I'm gonna go ahead and see what you can.
Yeah, go
I'm
ahead. I'll finish
bow
this up.
Out
go
for
ahead.
A second. And handle some business.
Yeah,
I'll be right back.
You go right ahead. Scott Hall returned to independent wrestling, making his first appearance since his April 9th Massachusetts incident as he managed Santana in her match against the DTW Ninja in Sanford, Florida. And if you go to SundayNightShowdown.com, there was actually a video of the match. Man, once again, here's another gentleman. Scott Hall, and we know he was on Wrestling News Live. Here's a man. Why do we get on this man so much? This man's got problems too. Yet, he is still a draw. And if that's the case, then doesn't the man deserve a second chance? You could make an argument. We're talking about this thing with China and the porn situation at the top of the program. You could make the case, well, if we're willing to accept women's wrestlers who have done pornographic movies, then perhaps we should also accept back into the fold people like Jeff Hardy who have been indicted on drug charges. So I will leave it up to the fans. It's your own personal opinion what you can tolerate and what you can't tolerate. I personally am just tired of the double standard. I'm glad to see Scott Hall back. I was flipping through the channels, and I ran into ESPN Classic, and ESPN Classic has old AWA programs from the mid-80s. And Scott Hall and Mr. Perfect Kurt Hennig were AWA World Tag Team Champions. And to look at that man then and to look at him now, he was Magnum TA-ish, if I may use that term. He was Magnum TA-ish in his appearance. And it wasn't until he became the Razor Ramon character that he turned into this not a greaser character, but you know what I mean. He didn't become the working man wrestler as he became the more gimmicky type of wrestler that we have been seeing as of late. Good to see him back. If you want to be on the program, I will take a couple of calls here very, very quickly before we get Little Egypt on the program. If you'd like to be on the program, 501-588-7957, 501-588-7957. If you'd like to be on the Pro Wrestling Rewind, you can also catch us on Skype. Look for SNS Radio Network and I think you can friend it on the Skype. Whatever. Just you can look for us on Skype. Or you could right-click and let Google do all the work for you on the chat room as well. There's a bug on my computer. What's up with that? Anyway, 501-588-7957, 501-588-7957, if you would like to be on the program. Monday Night Raw this past week, do we really need another Rey Mysterio CM Punk series of matches? Isn't that done? Is that over? Oh, and by the way, speaking of Monday Night Raw, what is Santino Marella on? I still don't buy the Cobra. And when I think of a Cobra, I think of Sergeant Slaughter. I don't think of a finger shot to the upper chest. Okay? I don't see that as a finishing maneuver. I'm sorry, I just don't. But what is it with the Santino Marella character now getting this tremendous push going over guys in the Nexus? I am very, very curious, as to what the idea here is involving Santino Marella and this push. And when did all of a sudden Vladimir Kozlov start going into blue tights? Is he like the Nikita Koloff now? The King of All Lily is back with us, Mike.
I'll be right with you.
Okay, absolutely. Having absolutely more fun. Let's go to the phone lines. Caller line one, you're on the air. Go ahead, Pro Wrestling Rewind. What's up?
Oh, yes, this is Anthony.
Anthony, good evening, sir. What's going on?
Well, I want to go back to where you were having that whole argument / conversation about the China Playboy TNA thing.
If you were China, I'm going to ask you straight up. Do you feel, and it's a yes or no question, do you feel that China deserves a second chance, or should she be ostracized from professional wrestling for doing porn?
She did the porn, then she didn't say to TNA, hey, I did a porn before you guys signed me up. So, and then she basically lied about it until TNA said, you're gone. And they already have issues with the Jeff Hardy, so they're not going to take a risk with her now.
So TNA, we can expect then TNA going to this PG kind of a format. And so if you've done porn or if you've done drugs or if you've gotten a speeding ticket, you've done anything bad in your life, then you're not getting a job in TNA.
Oh, no, TNA is not going to try. They're trying to go PG-13, sometimes rated R with some of the stuff they do, but they sometimes go over the limit than they need to, so.
In what way?
But.
In what way?
Like, when they had the whole promo thing between AJ and Bully Ray, where they had to say, oh, Bully, you're being all this bad because are you compensating for your small package?
His small wiener. You could say Congressman Wiener sent a picture of his wiener, so we can call it a wiener. That's okay.
Manstick, whatever you want to call
it. Okay, I gotta let you go Anthony. I've gotta let you go because we have other calls coming in. So I'm gonna bear with me 2 seconds. Jason, I know you're on the line. Jason, I've got to let you go. I apologize. I want you to do me a favor and call back after we go ahead and we finish with this interview. Jason, I apologize. Let us go to the newsmaker line. One of our power faves has requested time on the program, and we are more than happy to give it to her, and we owe it to her considering the debacle that happened the last time she was on this program. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, a power fave, and we welcome her back to the program, the one of the greatest women's wrestlers of all time. And
why is she not in the top two?
Stop. And more importantly, without a doubt, one of the most charismatic GLOW competitors. We have Little Egypt joining us on the program. Good evening, Little Egypt.
Good evening, Andy. Good evening, Mike. How are you guys tonight?
We are doing good fabulous. Evening. How have you been?
Uh-oh, we might be having a little bit
of a lot of things going
problem.
On right now.
Is my imagination or is little Egypt cutting in and out on us here?
See?
She might.
Oh. Do you want me to try it again?
Yeah, if you don't mind, little Egypt, we're going to go ahead. We'll let you go. We'll let you try. I apologize. We'll let you try calling back in. And I am not playing this again.
We're not doing this again. If I have to, I'll get off the friggin' line so you can do this.
All right. Let's try this. Let's try this again. Little Egypt, are you back on the line with us?
Yeah, and I can hear you great now. What about you guys?
Okay, that's fabulous. Let's go ahead. You sound great, and we're going to ride this train here for as long as we possibly can.
Skype!
Tell us what has been going on, Little Egypt, since you were last on the program. You had a lot going on. Remind the listeners here what has been going on in your life and the life of GLOW and the GLOW reunion and all that good stuff.
Okay. Well, since...
We've lost her again. Mike, I'm going to let you go.
I'm gone.
Little Egypt, are you still there?
Yeah, I am. How am I coming in now?
Okay, you're coming in fine. Go ahead and continue. I apologize.
Andy, can you hear me?
I can hear you fine. Can you hear me okay? Did we lose her again? Are you kidding me, really?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine. Can you hear me okay?
I can.
Okay, are you calling us? Let me ask you this. Are you calling us through the Skype or are you calling us through the landline?
I'm calling you through Skype. Should I call you through the landline?
Yeah, let me do this. I'm going to give you the number to call in on. We'll try that and we'll see if that gets it any better for us. It's 501-588-7.
Now, let me write it down just a second.
Okay, now.
Didn't know you were going to throw that at me.
I apologize.
Okay.
I apologize.
501-588-7957.
And I will keep the phone lines open for you to come back. And I apologize. Something with Skype is going crazy. So we'll let you go. Go ahead and call back in.
Now, Andy, it was 501-588-7957. Okay, thanks.
All right. So we're going to wait. Little Egypt will, we will attempt to get Little Egypt back on the program. For some strange reason, see there, ladies and gentlemen, there is a conspiracy going on. Skype and a conspiracy against Little Egypt. And I, for one, would like to know what Skype has against Little Egypt. Because this time, it is not anything to do with anything in the studio end. I digress. So we will wait here momentarily. I had mentioned the fact that we had Santino Marella this past week on Raw. And if you caught the match with McGillicuddy, he actually wrestled a decent match. And I was actually quite impressed. I wonder if Little Egypt, are you back with us?
I am.
Okay, that sounds significantly better.
Good, I'm glad to hear it.
Okay, so tell us some of the things. We'll talk about Santino Marella in a minute. But tell us some of the things that you have been doing since you have last been on the program, which was a complete debacle.
That had my adrenaline going, I'll tell you, Andy. That was something else. But it was a first. It was a first for me. So I have to tell you, that was a really fun time. What did we have? How many drop calls did we have?
I believe the final count, it was up. And it wasn't just the calls. It was also the shout cast. And it was in the upper 20s. I gave up counting after about 22, 23.
I know. That was something else. Oh, my gosh. That was crazy. But I'm so glad we're just going old school and just doing landlines. Yeah, I think that's probably the best way to go right now.
I wholeheartedly agree.
I'm sorry. Since we last spoke, a lot has been going on as far as with the GLOW Girls. We had our very first ever public appearance at the Cauliflower Alley Club, which is a reunion that is held in Las Vegas every year. And it is a wrestling reunion. As you know, but maybe for your listeners, it is a nonprofit organization. It is an organization which wrestlers get together in what we call a ring of friendship. So wrestlers are represented from different promotions as well as different shows, like from the WWE, TNA, all the way through the Indies, territories. GLOW made their first appearance this year at the Cauliflower Alley Club. We were really, really excited. We knew that we were going to come out and make a professional appearance for the fans, and we wanted to be in a forum that we felt really, really comfortable in, and the Cauliflower Alley Club was that forum for us, so we were really, really excited to be there.
And what's you've had other things going on. Can we discuss the other project that you had going on?
Sure. Well,
there was another project which you swore us to secrecy with real with real swear words, I might add. And I was wondering if we could discuss that as well, or is that still under wraps?
No, we can absolutely discuss it. I made a special guest appearance in Billy Corgan's new video for his Awada song, and that was shot in Chicago around the end of May. It was fantastic because others that were appearing in that video was Melissa Anderson, otherwise known as Alyssa Flash. We also had Shelly Martinez, as you know, from TNA as well as WWE. And then we also had Raven from, oh my gosh, far back to the ECW and all the way through WWE with an incredible Hall of Fame career. And with those four cast members and a fantastic director, Robbie Starbuck, who I don't even know how he did it, but he managed to get his hands on an HD Red camera, which is what they've used to film the Avatar movies, Pirates of the Caribbean movie. It's a really special camera that can film in very, very low light. And we were able to use that. So this will be the first video to ever use that type of technology. And to have it, you know, have a Smashing Pumpkins song, it's just absolutely fantastic. As you know, no big surprise, Billy Corgan is a fan of wrestling and has thought about doing a wrestling video for some time. I think it all kind of came together for him when he did show up to the Cauliflower Alley Club in support of the Glow Girls, as well as connecting with all sorts of other workers in the industry that he's known for years and years and years. So he had a great time, and it was all part of his inspiration. I'm just really glad to be a part of it.
It's amazing. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I was just going to say, it's amazing to me. He never struck me as a Glow fan. I just find that fascinating.
He wrote a song called Glow back in 2008. He titled it G.L.O.W.
Right.
After the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, kind of as a shout out. He's been quoted as saying is a shout out of love to that particular show. I'm not necessarily sure just how closely he followed the Glow show, but he's very, very aware of it and a lot of the characters, and he remembers it from being on television, and we embrace him and we love him, and we think it's fantastic that he supports us. And not only that, he's also an advocate for female wrestling, what's going on now in the female wrestling leagues. What we're seeing now is more independent, more high impact wrestling that's appearing now in the indie market. He's very supportive of that, but he also brings us a lot of attention and awareness, not just because, you know, he represents the Smashing Pumpkins, but there is that span of time, Andy, as well as you know, mm-hmm. that, you know, back in the 80s, we were the only show that featured female wrestling, because prior to the Glow show, female wrestling was pretty much exhibition style.
Correct.
Where, you know, females and midgets were huge draws on cards. So you always saw them, you know, appearing on the promoter cards. And we have legends as a result of that. And without them, we would never have had a Glow show.
Right.
Glow was the very first show to ever air on television, a one-hour show that featured female wrestling in a variety setting. And it did go for 4 years. And that became part of the threads that make up our pop culture, which, again, is, you know, if you were growing up in that period, you were aware of what the Glow Girls were doing, and kind of the, as a result of the Glow show, and correct me if I'm wrong, Andy, and I don't want to speak on behalf of where I think female wrestling has gone in the history book,
mm-hmm.
but I believe that as a result of the success of the GLOW show, that other shows like TNA, WWE saw women as more of a viable commodity. They started putting more time and energy into that instead of just being managers or an occasional female wrestling match. It became a knockout series, and it became a diva part of these bigger shows. So he gives us, you know, we get credit for that, and the fact that Billy did cast me as a promoter booker in the video will bring a lot of attention to the GLOW name and the work that the girls have done over the last 20 years.
Who is, I'd be curious to know, who is his favorite? He'll probably be biased and say you, but did he have a favorite GLOW superstar, a favorite GLOW wrestler?
You know what? He has not come out publicly to say who his favorite was. And I think that that's great for all the girls because we all want to think that we're his favorite. But I will tell you that we did sit him next to Matilda the Hun, and honestly, we thought that she might just eat him up. And it was first thing she did was put him in a knocker locker. And holy cow, we started getting really, really worried if she was just going to, you know, eat him up right there on the spot. So it was pretty crazy. It was a real fun time. We had two GLOW tables full of GLOW girls and their husbands, and we were embraced by the Cauliflower Alley Club. And you know, I was the one that arranged for him to be there, so I kept it as a surprise to the girls. I didn't tell them to the very last minute who was coming. So when they saw him, they were absolutely thrilled and excited, and fans of Pumpkins, and they were very much aware of the GLOW song he wrote in 2008, and not to mention that everyone else, there was over 400 people in attendance at that banquet, and they all knew him, and they were all thrilled and extremely excited that he was there. It was great for the Cauliflower Alley Club, and it's just going to bring us bigger numbers here.
And for those that are listening to the program, where would they find the Cauliflower Alley Club?
Okay, the Cauliflower Alley Club you can find on the web at cauliflowerallyclub.org. It is a nonprofit organization, and it is open to anybody. You do not have to be a worker in the industry to be a member of the Cauliflower Alley. This is one of those really, really unique organizations that when we talk about a ring of friendship, we're also talking about those fans being an equal contributor to that ring of friendship. So we embrace the fans, we embrace all the workers. If I have an opportunity just to talk a little bit about what the Cauliflower Alley Club is, it is a nonprofit organization. They use the 3 days in Las Vegas that they do every year as an opportunity to conduct ongoing seminars for a lot of the young workers that are starting in the industry. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, they can't just go right to the WWE like they all dream and hope for.
Right.
They're working in the indie markets. They're working in territories. They need to learn how to promote, self-promote. They need to learn what's available to them, what tools, resources that they have. And every year there's ongoing seminars. And this year we had the Honky Tonk Man did a seminar, J.J. Dillon, Dr. Dave Reese. We also had Ted DiBiase. And I was the only female that was speaking during the seminar, so that was also a huge honor. I did a class on networking on Facebook and branding and building, and and I use that as an opportunity to help other workers create character profiles and character pages and the differences between the two. It was also great for GLOW to be recognized at that level, so I was really, really pleased to do that. The Nostalgia Room is open to the public. It's open to the public all 3 days. You do not have to be a member to go into the Nostalgia Room. And in the Nostalgia Room, you'll see tables set up where there'll be, there'll be wrestlers from every genre represented in and out of the Nostalgia Room, and you can buy their 8x10s or whatever DVDs they're selling or paraphernalia. All that is happening in the Nostalgia Room. And then, of course, we have the Hall of Fame Banquet, which happens on the very last night, where different wrestlers will be acknowledged for, like, their lifetime achievements. And, you know, we were able to see Sergeant Slaughter get his award. He was inducted by Roddy Piper. All this stuff was just so fantastic. And if, you know, anyone is interested in, you know, latching onto a piece of history, get involved with the Cauliflower Hour Club. That's the only organization that I'm involved with. It's the only one that I want to talk about. It's the only one that I feel really, really comfortable that they really are looking out for the best interest of the workers. And when I say workers, you know, I mean wrestlers. And I believe at every level, not just at that elite on-air level.
Do you feel, Little Egypt, I have a feeling how you're going to answer this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. You have become really the spokesperson, really the leader of this Glow 2.0 revolution. And really your character back in Glow really was quite the opposite. How does it feel to be in this prominent role, this leadership role now, all these years later, and all of these girls depending on you?
Thank you. It is something that when I talk about what I do for the Glow Girls, I think of it more as an unofficial role. I believe if I'm going to represent myself, I'm going to represent it as the unofficial spokesperson of the Glow Girls, because I do not represent Glow the brand. That is owned by Ursula, who was once Babe the Farmer's daughter, and she does her thing with that. She has the trademark to that. So if anything that's going to happen that has to do with copyright or trademark, that's Ursula's baby. But we are all independent of that. So when we come together as a group of former wrestlers. Some of us are still working today. But we come together to embrace each other, to embrace the memories, to support each other, to love each other. And that's where I want to focus my time and attention, because I will tell you, Andy, for the last 20 years, you know, I was busy, you know, in my real estate career. I was busy raising my son. Now that things are slowing down for me and I'm focusing more of my time and energy back into the industry, I want to see the girls that wrestled for Glow get more recognition than they've had in the past, because there's this period of time, Andy, like 10 or 15 years, where it's just off the radar. It doesn't make sense when you look at the history. It doesn't go from exhibition style right to TNA Knockouts and WWE Divas. It doesn't do that. There is this period of time, and I want to see girls like Tina Ferrari, who went on to become Ivory at the WWE, get the recognition she deserves. I want to see women like Matilda the Hun, who was a professional wrestler before Glow, get the recognition that she deserves. I want to see girls like Beastie, who went on to wrestle in Japan for years, and these girls that are still taking bumps today, like Lightning and Hollywood, get the recognition that they deserve. And they're not, because they're not in shows that they're getting support in. And there's no money there. There's no money to give these girls to promote themselves.
Right.
So I want to do whatever I can to self-promote from within to give these girls the recognition that they deserve.
It's admirable what you're doing, and I'm glad to see that it's getting done. And there are so many superstars, and not just the Glow superstars, but a lot of professional wrestlers that really we owe a lot to. And I saw something today. I was checking out Facebook, and I can't remember who it was. Baby Doll finally accepted a friend request of mine, and she had a thread going where she asked what would happen if the WWE would fold up tomorrow. And I answered back. I said, well, maybe it would help the NWA come back to prominence again. And somebody had said, you know, the NWA has gone the way of professional wrestling when we thought that it was real and all these other things, and Glow once again was part of that genre. And it's really it's disappointing, really, to think of where we are now and all these wrestlers really that don't really get the recognition or the respect that they deserve. And it's good to see that you are, you know, you're doing your part for the Glow Girls. And absolutely, I would love to have Hollywood on this program. I would love to have any of the Glow alumni alumnus, alumni, alumni, whatever. I'd love to have them on the program, if for no other reason to say thank you for what they have done for One Wrestling Fan. But I do have to put you on the spot here, Little Egypt, because there are a lot of things going on in women's wrestling that we noted at the top of the program, and you, having been a women's wrestler, really are the most qualified person to discuss some of these things. Awesome Kong came out a couple of weeks ago and said that she was pregnant. The WWE allowing her to go out far more graciously than what we had expected. What does it do for a woman's wrestler who finally makes it to the big time to find out that she's pregnant? What goes through her mind?
Oh man, I have to tell you, it takes so much to get to that level right there, because, you know, Awesome Kong's history in wrestling, and how she had to, you know, take her bumps and climb that ladder of success and everything that she did to get to that point, and then to have it, to find out that you're pregnant. Oh my gosh, I can only tell you that I know that she's going to be happy with her decision, because I found myself in the same position. And for me, I chose not to wrestle anymore, but then again, I was injured. Awesome Kong's not. She very well could come right back. The character that she's got and what she's doing with her character, that's something that's timeless. So I think that, you know, it's not like she is, I don't know how to say it. It's not like she's got a character that is driven 100% on TNA, you know, when I say that. I mean, 100%, like, it's all about body image and Lacey Von Erich or something like that, mm-hmm. barefooted sex appeal wrestler. Mm-hmm. You know, she can very well get back into the ring after she has her baby and pick up right where she left off, because her character... she's not even going to skip a beat, but that's if she wants to do that. Who knows what happens until you deliver your baby? You don't really know what you're going to do. I'm sure she's just trying to stay open and keep all of her options open. I know that when I was wrestling, I had one of the headhunters, and I don't know how familiar you are with the entire GLOW cast, but she was a Filipino headhunter.
Yes.
And she was only in it for a very short time.
Yes.
She was pregnant during our training, like while we were in the ring and we were learning how to be wrestlers. She was 3 months pregnant and didn't tell anyone.
Oh my God.
Until I had to practice with her, and she was saying, "Listen, I'm pregnant. Hit me up here. When you stomp on me, stomp on me up here." And she was pointing to right around her diaphragm. She goes, "It's okay, I'll just hold my abs tight."
Right.
And I was like, "Are you kidding? I can't touch. I don't want to touch you. Are you kidding me? I'll never kick you. I'm not going to do it. I am not comfortable. This is so wrong. I can't believe it." And her husband later, you know, forced her to retire, and then that was the end of her career. But you don't know. I mean, women want it so bad that they're willing to, you know, maybe even put themselves in a position to jeopardize their health and maybe their baby's health. So congratulations to Kong, who said, "That's it. I'm done for now." And I hope she revisits it. I know she's going to come back stronger than ever. I can't see why she wouldn't. Andy, do you see any reason why she wouldn't come back stronger than ever?
There is a bond and from somebody who's had, you know, who's been through a wife having give labor to three boys, and now with a little girl, I can't imagine breaking a bond. And of course, the owner of the network had come out, our Mr. JJ El Capsexe had come out and said this as well. He also has children, as do I. And there is this bond that you have to, there's this bond that you have to establish with your children. And if she is out on the road 300 days a year, how does she expect to really, you can't just give the child to a nanny or the father in this case and just get back to work. I think personally, Egypt, I think she's done. I think she's done at least for a good few years.
Well, if she's done, then I hope that it's something that she, well, that that's what she wants, because when I had my son, I was happy. I was like, this is it. I'm done. I'm so happy. All I want to do is be the best mother I can be. Mm-hmm. I put my head down, nose to the grindstone, went to work, came home, was a mom. I was on the recess yard. I was a real mom. I was baking cookies. And that was my 20 years. And it took me 20 years till I got to the point where I was comfortable giving my time and energy back into the industry again. Now, maybe she only needs a short period of time. I don't know. But for me, it was 20 years. And look, the industry's still there, and it's still embracing me. So
very true.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
There is a lot of hubbubaloo, if I may use that term, regarding China right now and the adult film industry and how she's being treated in TNA. And I had brought up a point. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, how is she being treated in the TNA? Well, I know about the scandal, but I don't know really what's going on. At the
well,
TNA
her public
now.
Her public relations firm has now distanced themselves from her, and she has not been on TNA TV. And the situation now seems to be this dual standard that because we're dealing with China, a woman who has had problems, who has demons that she has been fighting and has been trying to make a return, she comes back on a handshake deal to Impact Wrestling and really does well, that all of a sudden now the industry is turning against her because she has planned to make or has made an adult film. And the point that I was making before you had come on the program was that there is there's this double standard that the women's wrestlers somehow have to be held to a much higher standard because they are women and they're not expected to do certain things. My question to you is knowing this scandal as you know it, should China step aside and not continue a wrestling career? Should she just, if she's going to do adult movies, just let her go and stay away from the wrestling?
Well, I mean, now we're just at the point where we're just kind of gossiping back and forth, which I don't mind, but is she planning on doing more adult films, or was it a one-time thing?
Well, there was a report on Headlocks to Headlines that she had made a comment that she would like to do it full-time. Now, that hasn't been substantiated, but I guess, you know, when there were other divas and knockouts that had done spreads in Playboy, and if this is an uncomfortable conversation, we will switch to something else. But
is that when you talk about spreads, I don't know if you know, but Hollywood and Godiva both did spreads for Playboy magazine.
Yes,
you know
yes,
that?
Yes, yes, they did. Yes. I haven't seen them and I have no intention on seeing them, but be that as it may, I don't think my wife would appreciate that, but be that as it may, the situation surrounding this, there have been so many women's wrestlers that have done spreads in Playboy. And you haven't seen the industry turn against them. If anything, the industry tends to embrace them more for their courage in doing what they did. So my question was, why is China all of a sudden held to a higher standard because she wants to go and do an adult film, or she has gone and done an adult film? Shouldn't she receive, and she's done a spread in Playboy, shouldn't she receive the same type of respect, the same type of professionalism that the other women's wrestlers received who did Playboy spreads and what have you? I put you on the spot on this one, I know.
You know what? I'm not in the back house of TNA. Honestly, I think of if I were, I would want to hold these women at a higher standard personally. Okay, you're just talking, I'm giving you my personal opinion.
And that's what we want, is I'd like to know where you stand on this.
Okay, because personally, you know, I've been in business 20 years. And, you know, I think that you don't need to do, I don't think you need to do that ever to elevate yourself at a higher level. I don't think it's necessary. Although people like Kim Kardashian and Paris Hilton, although they technically didn't do porn, their sex tapes are on the internet. And as a result, Kim Kardashian made over $60 million in her career.
That's a scary thought.
Paris Hilton led the brand as far as these reality TV stars. So you know what, if the end goal is to have that type of success in your life, and we know that the American public is very forgiving, Andy, that's no big secret.
Right.
We tend to forgive and forget very easily. And if it gets her press, and if that's what she wants, more power to her. What I do is know if I were in TNA, would I want, knowing that I have a family show, would I want my younger fan base to have that type of knowledge or be able to access that type of information? No, but mm-hmm. that's just me. I mean, mm-hmm. that's what I come from. I'm old school that way.
Yeah.
I don't think I'll ever change my personal opinion on that.
There was a situation, and once again, drawing on your vast knowledge of women's wrestling, Rosa Mendez this past week had a match against Nadi Neidhart, which resulted in a wardrobe malfunction. What goes through a woman's wrestler's mind at the time of a wardrobe malfunction?
Well, okay, so was it a staged wardrobe malfunction, or did it really occur?
It really occurred.
Okay, because I actually had my own wardrobe malfunction. I don't know if you knew that or not. It
no.
never aired.
No,
I but
it no.
was extremely humiliating.
So it's one
oh,
of
yeah.
those. I'm shocked. I had no idea. Okay.
Well, that's probably because you weren't sitting in the audience live during taping that day.
Right.
But my I went from my original gold bra that the director didn't like. He actually came from the sex industry himself,
mm-hmm.
so he wanted to see a more risque gold bra on Little Egypt, so he had the seamstress make me a new bra, which I never wrestled in until the day that I had to wrestle in front of a live audience.
Right.
So my bra wasn't as tight as it should have been, and
oh no,
the whole thing just snapped right off.
Oh my
goodness. And I just could have died. It was just the most embarrassing, humiliating moment. Knowing that the director, he probably saved the footage somewhere and he's waiting for the opportunity to air that on YouTube one day. And I know I have to face reality that's going to happen.
We'll defend you here on this program. We will make him pay. If that happens, I will bring the full force of the SNS radio network down upon him. Little Egypt. If that happens, don't you worry about that. Nothing
yeah.
gets by me. But
is there a protocol
that women's wrestlers have that if this happens, if something should happen and the top happens to let go, is there a protocol in place for something like that?
What do you mean when you say protocol? You mean just edit the footage?
No. I mean, is there some sort of I found this fascinating because with guys, this never seems to happen unless you're Ric Flair. But
yeah, right.
Is there some sort of unwritten rule? If it happens, we end the match. We get you the hell out of there as fast as we possibly can. Is it just if it happens, you just kind of?
Oh, yeah. You know what? It's because it doesn't happen very often. I don't think that there is a protocol. They don't teach you that in training. Hey, if you have a wardrobe malfunction, this is how we're going to fix it.
Yeah.
I think what happened with me, we did not end the match. I just had to snap myself back in place. I don't even remember how we got through it, but at that point I was basically, you know, wrestling with one arm because I refused to let go. So you don't really know how you're going to handle it. But if you want to talk about wardrobe malfunction, go back to the glow days, because I will tell you, when you saw some of the costumes, like Amy the Farmer's daughter, she came out of her top. She would tape herself in. She'd tape her shorts on. I mean, there was so many things. We were doing everything we could with tape and sewing our bras into our shirts so that they wouldn't lift. I mean, it was absolutely crazy. And still, we couldn't take enough precaution to prevent a wardrobe malfunction because they still happened. They just didn't air.
You said the director. So it was uh-huh. it was his idea to put you in the gold outfit.
Yeah, well, no, the costume designer who was our seamstress, it was actually Nanushka's mom, who, and that's how Nanushka got involved in as a glow worker. How she was able to be cast as Nanushka is mm-hmm. because she was helping her mom. She wanted to become a wrestler, and she went to training, and she has a great story to tell, which you'll be able to hear in the glow documentary, which will be coming out hopefully in August it'll be hitting the film festivals, and then later the year in the year ready for DVD release. So in this GLOW documentary, it's going to be a, you know, it's going to be chock full of GLOW stories that are going to, it's probably going to be the most comprehensive GLOW documentary ever. I believe that once you see this documentary, there's probably no need to make any more, because you're going to revert to this one as the one that's got the most accurate information. These guys that put this documentary together have put in over 2 years of their life gathering information, clips, behind-the-scenes photos, over 30 interviews with GLOW girls, many of whom don't want to participate in a public level, like Chainsaw and Spike.
Right.
You know, they're out there, they're available, they're part of the documentary, but you're not going to see them on Facebook, and you're not going to be able to follow them on Twitter, just like Palestina and so many of the other girls that all want to have private lives. They all still gave their time to the documentary, and that's why when this documentary comes out, for anyone who's interested in women's wrestling and that genre, as well as just happens to be a GLOW fan or remember the GLOW show, this is the DVD that you're going to want to have, that you're going to want to get.
I'm gonna throw some GLOW names by you, some GLOW alumni, and I'd like to get your thoughts. As we were sitting here talking, I couldn't help but think of a tag team called the Soul Patrol.
Oh, I just found Carmen on Carmen. You remember, she was Adore on Soul Patrol.
Yes.
You remember Adore was the little bit bigger one, more voluptuous.
Yes, yes, I do.
Bigger. Okay. She is alive and well. She's had a great life. She has children. She's very happy. She doesn't want to be involved in a public level, but she was able, through Facebook, believe it or not, able to connect with a handful of girls that she's been looking for 20 years. And now they're reunited and talking and just loving and embracing each other.
Corporal Kelly was the first one.
Okay.
What I remember of her, they tag teamed her with Attaché, and then she sort of left. She kind of went away.
Yeah.
What happened there?
I don't really know Kat's story, but you can find her on Facebook on the official page of Little Egypt. I have a link to all the GLOW girls that are participating on a public level with fans through Facebook. So if you go to the official page of Little Egypt and go to the links, you'll be able to see links to all the girls. And Corporal Kelly number one, as well as Corporal Kelly number two, are both on Facebook. You can find Corporal Kelly number one under Kat Olympia Hart. And as a result of her name, her middle name Olympia, which is what she was working under, the writer fell in love with it and named a wrestler Olympia later on in this first season.
And that was going to be
kind of a little.
That was going to be one of the other names I wanted to run by you. Is you had this China-esque, Beth Phoenix-esque character, Olympia. Whatever became of her?
Well, as far as Olympia, we still have not found her yet. We've heard stories that she was in physical fitness in California and working at this particular club, which I tried to send emails to and make contact with. Haven't heard from her, unfortunately. So she's still out in orbit as far as, you know, I have not verified that information yet.
One of the GLOW wrestlers, I was showing my younger boy some of the old tapes. And my 7-year-old rather enjoyed. She was, if I recall correctly, she was the first GLOW champion, and she had the pigtails and I can't remember her name right now. But
Tammy Jones.
Who was it?
Tammy Jones.
Is that Tammy Jones?
But she sucked the lollipop.
Yes.
Yeah, with like the polka dot, little white and red.
Yeah, she spoke like a child, and my 7-year-old was fascinated by it.
Yeah, she was so cute. Oh, my God, she was so cute. We have not found her yet. She married Frank D'Amato, who was the ref in season one. He was the guy with the dark hair and the dark mustache.
Yes.
So that was her husband. We have not made contact with her. There's been a lot of speculation on where she is and if she's still around or not. I have not verified if she is or not. We've been looking like crazy for her. A lot of girls want to connect with her. She is still out in orbit.
Frank D'Amato, there's a name I haven't heard in forever. You want to have an admiration for a referee, ladies and gentlemen. Frank D'Amato, seriously, that He could right now, I could see him in the WWE or in Impact right now. He was a class act. The things that he had to put up with, God bless him. I'll never forget.
I'd love to find him.
I'll never forget the night when, I believe it was the night when Americana lost the title. And Frank was so apologetic. And I thought this was odd for a referee. He was talking to David McClain. He said, no, it was a clean pin. It was a clean pin. I'm sorry. It was a clean pin.
Oh, yeah.
What a class act.
Yeah, I know. We'd love to find him. As far as our hearts go, we believe that they're still both living a happy life, and we just want to connect with them, but we have not at this point. However, I think I have connected with close to 40 out of the 60 cast members that wrestled for GLOW. And not all 40 of them are, like I said, connect publicly, but I am in touch, and I've spearheaded that campaign with fans and just a huge outreach program through, you know, just the love that GLOW fans have for this show. And, you know, just using the power of social media, I've been able to find close to 40 girls.
Well, I wish you luck finding the rest, and please, please feel free to avail yourself upon our airwaves here if you find more, if you're looking to reach out, because we definitely appreciate your support of the program, and we appreciate you bringing GLOW back to prominence, and anything we can do. As always, Little Egypt, greatly appreciate you being on the program, and I know we went significantly longer than what we had planned on, but you're just such a great interview, and once again, thank you so much for being on the program.
Egypt, great, happy to be here. Anytime.
I'm sorry,
is that Mike?
Yeah, Mike's still in the background.
I'm here.
Were you there the whole time?
Yeah,
I was listening intently.
He doesn't say much, Egypt. We just
You guys are so funny. You're such a good tag team, I have to tell you. I love coming on your show.
Well, we enjoy
You're
having you.
Anytime.
And what we'll do is I will send you the link of the program through your Facebook. I'll send you the link of the program.
No, I will.
I get to do it. I'm the host. I get to do it. So there. And you could share this interview with your followers on Facebook. I'd be very curious to hear and see what they would say. Little Egypt, once again,
great discussion.
Thank you so much for being on the program. As always, anytime there's anything you want to talk about, feel free. You have a free open line here on the Rewind.
Awesome. Thanks, you guys. Talk to you soon.
Okay, have a great night.
Take care.
Okay, you too. Thanks. Bye.
Little Egypt, ladies and gentlemen, here on the Pro Wrestling Rewind. Man, that went significantly longer than what I had anticipated, and we are running out of time. 501. I wasn't expecting to go this long. 501-588-7957. 501-588-7957. If you'd like to be on the program, I hope Jason calls back. Jason was going to be just before Little Egypt came on board. I had to let him go.
I don't think so. I think he took off on us, but I do know one guy wants to give us a call.
I'll take 5 minutes, and then we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. Little Egypt, I'm telling you, what an absolute class act she is, and I really do. I mean this sincerely. I really do hope she reconnects with a lot of this other GLOW talent, and really there's no bigger advocate for women's wrestling than Little Egypt right now, at least not on social networks.
I don't disagree. I do not disagree at all. Come on, guys, give us a call. We got about 5 minutes. Let's do this.
Is there anything in particular that you, Mike, want to talk about before we go to the newsmaker line, or you just want me to go back to the phones?
Go to the phones.
All right, well, we'll just...
What I have set up still needs to...
All right, let's just go to the phones. Let's go to the Pope. We have to have our nightly prayer. Let us go to the Pope. Good evening, sir.
Hey, what's up, man? What's
it's
up?
Got to be real quick, Pope. It's got to be real quick. Go ahead. Give us a prayer.
Lord, thank you for China. Thank you for press.
Oh,
thank
God.
You for women. Thank you for amen.
Whoa, okay. We're bleeping that out. We're bleeping that out. Have a good night. Real anything else, Pope, real quick?
Let me see. That's about it. I had to give y'all nightly prayer. That's about it.
You're going to get me in so much trouble one of these days. You know that. Let's go back to the... I think we had... was Bronx on the line? Bronx, are you on the line? Line two?
Yes, I am.
Bronx, good evening, sir.
All right, I just have a quick thing to say. having a woman bark like a dog, having Triple H pretend to make love to a corpse, having Mae Young give birth to a hand, having several women appear in Playboy, why should China be ousted from wrestling when, if this was the 90s, you know wrestling would have embraced her being in a porno? Now, because wrestling has decided to change its attitude and become PG, why should she be ostracized? I mean, she says she never wants to go back into wrestling, but if she ever did, I mean, what she's doing is technically legal. And, you know, if you look back at the Attitude Era and you look back at what some of the stuff WCW did, I mean, you know, I just don't see, you know, how you can, you know, really, you know, ostracize her from the business because of this.
I wholeheartedly agree, Bronx. Really, there's no reason at this point to, and I think what you're seeing a shift in the attitudes in America. I think you're looking at a more conservative turn in the country, and not just in professional wrestling. You talk about the Attitude Era, which was in the 90s, which was a very liberal era, and now we're kind of getting to the end of that, and we're seeing a turn to more conservative values. And I agree with you. I don't think she should be ostracized. I don't think if you want to see it, you're going to want to see it if you're that kind of person, but this is a different business. This is professional wrestling, and this is TNA, which TNA never claimed to be PG-13. And you know, in all honesty, I think she deserves every opportunity. I think everybody deserves a second chance. Anything else, Bronx?
Well, I mean, JJ has a point. I only gave WWE examples, but I can give some TNA examples, too. Having Abyss get an axe in his back, having women, you know, enter the ring with camera shots that are nothing less than beautiful, but yet sexually explicit, and continuing to employ a drug addict, continuing to employ, and if you listen to Wrestling News Live, a man who I now consider a shyster and a thief, I hate to say that, TNA's wrestling in general, their track record is not PG. And, you know, if Vince wants to turn it around, great, but if, you know, TNA doesn't want to hire a porn star, you shouldn't hire a drug addict.
Very,
that's
very
my
true.
Opinion.
Thank you very much, Bronx. Appreciate it. You have a great night, sir.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right. Let's go to line 3. You're on the Pro Wrestling Rewind. Go ahead.
Yes, this is Anthony again.
Anthony, talk to me.
Since you guys had to cut my call short, which I understand, but you were also having issues with the whole part of Miz getting buried during this Alex Riley feud. I don't think so, because sometimes a well-known star has to go down from the big-time stuff to help try to elevate a guy who's trying to get his way up, and that's what they're trying to do now with Miz for Riley.
So you think Miz is at the point in his career now where he doesn't no longer need the title, he's a John Cena, he's a Triple H, he should be going out helping the young guys. He's an old guy who should be going out and helping the young guys now.
Didn't have Cena win the belt for almost a year, and he was just trying to elevate Wade Barrett in the Nexus. So that's basically what now Miz is trying to do with just Riley.
So, and once again, I go back to my point here. Is the Miz now at a point in his career, I want you to think about this, is the Miz at a point in his career now where he doesn't need titles, he is now like a Triple H or a John Cena, and he is there simply to elevate young stars?
No.
Well, here's the thing. Since The Miz has been in the WWE, the belts have been throwing him with title belts all this time. I think we've got to now see if he can really hang himself as a big-time player without a belt. So
That's an interesting take on it. I like where you're going with that, that perhaps now, and this happens with every wrestler eventually at some point. You win so many titles and so many belts that your job then becomes to elevate other people into championships and into belts. And I don't think he's at that point yet, though. This is where I go back to his irrelevancy, is the fact that I don't think he's at that point. Whether you look at a guy like, you know, Triple H, who's been in the company for years and years and years back in the Attitude Era, and even back before that in WCW, I can see at this stage in Triple H's career, you know, to be the man to put guys over, the same thing with John Cena. But having wrestled the match of his life at WrestleMania. I just don't see this being the time for The Miz, maybe 2 or 3 years down the road. But you bring up a good point. It's entirely possible.
And I don't really think the match that he had with Cena at Mania was his best match.
I thought it was.
He had with Daniel Bryan at last Night of Champions a couple of years back. That was way better.
But Bryan Danielson carried that match.
I'd rather see that match than the one at Mania.
I think the one at Mania, though, the Bryan Danielson, you're referring to the U.S. title match, correct?
Yes, the one where Miz lost the belt.
Right, okay. That match really was Bryan Danielson heavy. He really dictated that match. Whereas Cena or The Miz in the Mania match, Cena made a lot of mistakes and he wrestled a terribly poor match. It was not a John Cena WrestleMania match. And The Miz, to his credit, capitalized on Cena's bad night, and it showed. And it really was a turning point for The Miz's career because he wrestled, in my opinion, the match of his life, taking over on a lot of Cena's poor wrestling and terrible mistakes. I see where you could think that, but I think the U.S. title match was more Bryan Danielson leading as opposed to Cena, where The Miz really led that match.
But when we saw The Miz face Cena, you can see he was doing more of his usual stuff. While he was facing Danielson, he saw he was actually wrestling. I mean, he probably was coached beforehand by Daniel Bryan saying, okay, we're going to be doing this and this and this.
Oh, but no doubt.
Miz had to do the moves.
No doubt.
In other words, it takes two to make a good match.
Very true. It's just Bryan Danielson had a better one, and The Miz was following, whereas The Miz did more of the leading in the WrestleMania match, and that's probably one of the reasons why I enjoyed it so much. I didn't like the way it ended, but I came on this program and I said this was by far, this was Miz's match to win and really shine, and I thought he did a tremendous job. I think now that he's lost the title, he's falling back into irrelevancy again, unfortunately.
And you said the same thing about Sheamus when he lost the belt, and now you're one of his biggest fans. You love that Jar Mayonnaise.
I think the human Jar of Mayonnaise, well, right now, and of course you've got the storyline going on with Randy Orton, and it's great to see Sheamus has come along, and he's really come along well as a wrestler, and for some people it just takes time. How about Kelly Kelly? Have you been watching Kelly Kelly on Raw? I come back to it and I say, who is training these women's wrestlers? Kelly Kelly, that match she had in the tag match was one of the best Kelly Kelly matches I have ever seen. Now, granted, I didn't see a lot on the SmackDown, but man, when she first started in Raw, she couldn't put two moves together, and now, as far as I'm concerned, now she's contending for a Divas Championship, and it's great to see.
I was more impressed with the Bella Twins, or at least Brie. She's done way better than they have done in the past. Both of them, okay, let's do this little move this, then we switch.
Absolutely, and we get the win. Absolutely. Hey, where are we?
Kelly was at least decent.
I've got to let you go because we're coming to the end of the program, but thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate it.
Pretty understandable. Thanks for taking my call twice.
Oh. not a problem at all.
All right, let's get down to the brass tacks right now.
You've got about 2 minutes to tax.
I only need about 10 seconds.
Go ahead.
Do you know the final score?
No, I don't because I haven't watched the game.
Well, I know the final score because the chat room told me.
What's the score?
4-0 Bruins.
Is it over?
It's over.
Doesn't matter because it only means they're up 2-2 and they're going back to Vancouver. doesn't mean
12
anything.
12-1. They're outscored.
It's two. It's two bloody games. It's two bloody games. And where was all this domination in the first? Why did it take them three games to finally get back into the series?
I don't give a rat's patootie about the Stanley Cup.
They're not winning the series. They're going back to Vancouver, and they're going to get served. You wait and see. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's it for us. We are out of here. An extended edition of the Rewind tonight. Thank you for joining us wherever you were joining us. And
have a good week, everybody.
Have a good week. We'll be back in 7 days.
Quickly. Next week. It will be confirmed on Facebook as soon as it's all locked up. a woman's world champion. I'm not going to tell you who yet. Will be confirmed on Facebook, on the Rewind page on Facebook, when I have it locked up. A women's world champion, and make sure that we check out, before the boss gets mad at me, Wrestling News Live come Monday night. I'm going to have to check this out and see what actually went down from last week. So Wrestling News Live. China on Wrestling News Live. Andy, do you want to comment on that?
China, has that been confirmed for Wrestling News Live on Monday?
According to JJ All Caps XA.
Well, that will be one I will be listening to very, very intently, if for no other reason than to get her reaction to what has been happening. And I know if anybody's going to get to the bottom of what's been going on, it will be Trey and JJ. As a matter of fact, I mean, I'd love to have her on the Rewind if for no other reason to get to the bottom of this. But we'll let our sister show, we'll let Wrestling News Live handle. It's going to be a huge interview on Monday night, Wrestling News Live, China. And don't forget to check out all the other programs. Of course, we have Unplugged on Friday. What else we got going on? What Would Fans Do? CauseCast. There's a lot of great programming here on the SNS Radio Network.
CauseCast is tomorrow night, by the way. CauseCast is tomorrow night, according to what I was told, due to some delays in business. CauseCast is tomorrow night. One other thing that I wanted to bring up real fast. Last week, you had given me an assignment to work on getting this TNA, this reporter that got booted out due to from TNA.
Yeah.
Because of reporting spoilers. Well, couldn't find his address, so I went to another source, and that other source has basically ignored me. So as far as I'm concerned, TNA did the right thing by booting these guys out.
No,
because they
keep looking.
Don't want to be the ones who want to talk about what's going on.
Keep looking. He's out there somewhere. We'll get him on the program. That's it for us, ladies and gentlemen. We are out of here. Thank you for joining us. Remember to join us in 7/8. Catch all of the great programming here on the SNS Radio Network. Until next time, boys and girls, please, 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 please remember to take care of the energy inside yourselves. After all, that's where your true power lies. And God of radio, willing and at the higher power, lets me, Mike and I, will be back to play with you all again next week. That's it for us, the Pro Wrestling Rewind. 9 p.m. right here on the SNS Radio Network.
This is the Pro Wrestling Rewind.
It's showtime, folks!
Hola, this is Shelly Martinez.
This is former WWE superstar Luke Gallows.
Here's your boy Shaq Gaswati.
This is the World Warrior Low-Key.
This is Tyrus Wilson of Ring of Honor.
This is Christopher Daniels. And the Gospel According to the Fallen Angels says that you are listening to the SNS Radio Network.
Hey, yo, say hello to the bad guy, Scott Hall.
Big Daddy Cool Diesel / Kevin Nash on the SNS Radio Network.
Hey, what's up? It's the ODB, One Dirty Bit. Boom!
This is Booker T, the 5-time WCW champion, and you're listening to SNS Radio Network.
Hi, gang. This is Mean Gene Okerlund from the WWE.
Hey, this is Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle from TNA, and you're listening on the SNS Radio Network. Oh, it's real. It's damn real.
The world is listening.